This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. And in case you couldn't tell, I'm not in studio today because we're in Las Vegas at the Flamingo Hotel. That's right, with Harry from Against All Odds. Harry Gagnon, good to see you, man.
Awesome, Tate. Man, we had a lot of fun today already, right?
We have had a very jam-packed day. In case you missed it, March Madness is happening. It is the best time of the year. We are in Las Vegas. We are at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, thanks to Cousin Sal, and we're doing some Race to 10. So first and foremost, Harry, how does it feel to have March Madness watch over you? Sometimes it feels surreal for someone like myself.
It's always great. Always great. And like, look, I lived here for 17 years. I worked in the casinos. I was a supervisor for 14 years. And just like, if you've never been here for the tournament, you gotta. If you're a better, if you like college hoops, you gotta come to Vegas one time, experience it, soak it all in. You know, go maybe stay one book, go to a different book, go to a bar. It's just everything. So many people and the comedy club. It's so much fun. Food, everything around it. It's just a blast.
Yeah, we have seen so many fans. Harry's making a great point. If you're a fan of college basketball, you don't even have to be a fan of gambling. You should just want to be here because you walk around, you see a guy in a Nevada Wolfpack shirt, you see a guy in a Dayton Flyer shirt. They could be even walking together. Everybody represents their schools. We got producer Kyle here. He's got a St. John shirt on, even though they're not even the tournament, out of solidarity. You ran into a guy with a Moorhead State shirt on, Harry. Fantastic. You had fun with that.
Had fun, and also you saw a Nevada JaVale McGee jersey.
Right.
Who's
wearing that? There was a guy even at the game wearing a JaVale McGee jersey, and we did celebrate JaVale McGee Day this year. If you're a fan of the Nevada Wolfpack, they had that happen. So college basketball is the best sport. This is the best time of year. The first game of the day, we had Michigan State, Tom Izzo. They win the Race to 69, and they win this game against Mississippi State as the 9 seed. So technically an upset to start the day. A little bit of a dud, though, Harry. Right, just stylistically,
it was a dud.
Some shot clock violations,
slow play. Right. Michigan State really couldn't get it going. Mississippi State couldn't get it going. Michigan State again coming into the tournament, not shooting well from three, but they really started. I think they went 4 for 4 right off the bat and just kind of cruised. I mean, Mississippi State never really made a run, couldn't get the offense going, and again, Izzo wins another first round game. And a lot of people thought maybe Michigan State shouldn't have got a bid here. But, again, a very tough non-conference schedule, as he always does. Got in the tournament and had his team prepared and ready today, and they got the W.
Yeah, we call him Mr. March. January, February Izzo. So it starts out with Tom Izzo doing what Tom Izzo does. But like I said, it was an upset, not the sexiest upset. The next game was a great one. The Duquesne Dukes taking on BYU Cougars, and Duquesne came out and had their Dukes up, Harry. This was a very physical game. They pretty much punked BYU from the start.
Last night we both got here, and I said, Tate, who's your play tomorrow? And you told me, Harry? It's Duquesne.
It was the Dukes. There's two Dukes in this
great
tournament.
Great call, Tate.
We obviously have James Madison, the Dukes. We have the Duke Blue Devils, and we have the Duquesne Dukes. And LeBron James, by the way, his high school coach is the head coach of Duquesne. He said he went back there. His dad played for Duquesne. He wanted to bring back the status of Duquesne basketball there in Pittsburgh. Gets a win, the first win for Duquesne since 1969.
It's amazing. And, and they pretty much led throughout. BYU couldn't get anything going, especially early. The Cougs did make a run in the second
Jackson
half.
Jackson Robinson had a great second half.
I think they cut it to two, but still, nice job by Duquesne to hold their ground and pull this game out and move on as an 11 seed.
And it's a great story. We love stories in March. So Keith Dambrot, Duquesne, we will be talking about the Dukes for sure. The next one, we've been doing the race to 10, like I said. We had a great race to 10 in this Akron-Creighton game. Freeman hit three threes. We had a ball literally fall off the rim. That,
that hung on there forever.
Because we had Akron to win. Akron ended up winning the race to 10 here. So that was a great start. That kind of turned the day for us as far as momentum a little bit. And but other than that, Creighton dominates this game. They get a big win. Ryan Kalkbrenner was the real story, especially with three big Kalk blocks is what we call them.
Yeah, 23-8-3 today with three blocks. Creighton, you know, last year that was my team.
Yeah, you love the Blue Jays. Know,
they got
Blue Jays really... is one word, by the way. If you, this is the time for all the, we've for seen, all the we've grammar
seen,
people
we,
out
speaking
there.
Of, we've seen people in Creighton jerseys and shirts all over today, and they were my team last year. Got kind of screwed in the by the refs with a second to go against San Diego
Phantom
State.
Call, right?
Phantom call, and then so I came back with them this year. I love their starting five. I love McDermott. Got a contract to start the season, so he's set and ready. 14th year there. Experience, you know, from maybe last year, learning what happens. They ran the table a little bit until that San Diego State game. Learned from this year, second half against Akron. They just really – Ashburn was fantastic.
Mason, everyone in the starting lineup had double digits.
Right. Scoring. So great job by Creighton. Pulled away late, and they move on.
Yeah, I like it. Shout out to the Blue Jays. Shout out to Greg McDermott. Let's talk about Arizona, because last year Arizona was a two seed. I picked them. Hey, we're talking about picks from last year. I picked them to win the national championship, Harry. Big mistake. They lost to Princeton in the first round. This year they're a two seed. They play Long Beach State. The coach of Long Beach State, Dan Monson, got fired about a week ago. So he's coaching for fun and for free in this tournament. Early in this game, Long Beach was up, and Arizona seemed to be pressing a little bit. Did that concern us moving forward in this tournament, or do we think that they kind of shook that out of their system?
They shook it out of the system, I think.
So,
you know,
right.
I think, you know.
They win by 20, by the way. They cover.
They
so
win by 20,
good.
And somehow they cover.
Right.
They were never, I don't think I think that was the biggest lead they had all game, was 20, and they cover because it was a 19.5 at start of the game. But Arizona, again, a little pressure on them from what you mentioned last year, losing in the first round when everybody had them, you know, somewhat, a lot of people had them in the national championship game. But nice job by them to play big time in the second half and moving forward. I think, you know, got the jitters out. They got the one win. Now they move on.
Yeah, I like it. North Carolina, my Tar Heels. I went to North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. I will always be pulling for North Carolina. If you're looking at my socks, I have my lucky socks on. Harry knows this. I didn't get to watch much of this game, but they win by 28 points. It was closer than I would have liked at times, Harry. But, you know, North Carolina moves on, upsets the 16 seed. Just kidding. It's not an upset, but they get it done. Morehead State, Illinois. This was a game that we were fascinated by. Morehead State came out. They were playing really well. But Illinois in that second half, Dane Danger with some big thunderous dunks. TJ Shannon hit some big shots early in this one, and Illinois looks good.
Shannon's been great lately. Right. Boy, he's putting up the numbers. He's scoring at will. And then sometimes, you know, they made the nice run. Purdue didn't get it done in the Big Ten tournament. Painter, another tournament that he doesn't win. Illinois wins the Big Ten tournament. sometimes just these teams at a certain time of the season start turning it on, start the wheels start moving. And that might be a situation right now for Illinois after winning the Big Ten, winning today impressively too, especially loading up and rolling in the second half. They're a team to be reckoned with. And they get a break here, what you would think, playing the 11 seed Dukes in the second round.
Yeah, they do have to take on the 11 seed Dukes, who you and I both really like. But it is going to be an interesting game, and it could be a path for them to make a run at the Sweet 16, which is something that Illinois has been looking for since 2005. So Brad Underwood, good signs for him. We already had one 11 seed we talked about. There was another 11 seed that had a big upset, but a lot of people forecasted this one. Oregon, the Ducks, they win the Pac-12 tournament. They come to this tournament. They see South Carolina, a team that has had an incredible year. Lamont Paris up for Coach of the Year. But the Ducks and Dante was the real story for the Ducks in this one, and they get a big win over South Carolina.
Big win. Like you just mentioned, wins the Pac-12, they wouldn't have been in if they didn't do so.
Right.
And from the very beginning of this game, what we saw most from Oregon was their defense. They were trapping. They were double-teaming, causing tons of problems for the Gamecocks. They really, you know, again, the Gamecocks were, in the last week of the regular season, within still striking distance of winning the regular season title. They lose in the second round of the tournament, and then today just didn't have it. They just laid an egg against Oregon. Oregon controlled the game from the very beginning and never relinquished it.
Yeah, and Cousinard in this game, most points ever for an Oregon Duck player, 40 points in this game in the NCAA tournament.
Huge game.
great game for him. Obviously, Dana Altman came out with a plan defensively. They play with a lot of energy. And it was really infectious when you watch this game. You could tell that the Oregon Ducks are going to be someone that you have to deal with. And we'll talk about them when we talk about matchups as we forecast the future a little bit. But the Ducks, very impressive in this game. And the last game I want to talk about, Parlay Kid, who is also in Against All Odds. He is a big Dayton Flyer himself. And we got to see, I don't know if you want to call it, some people, the pessimists would say it was a choke from Nevada. The optimists would say it's an incredible comeback from the Dayton Flyers. I like to lean more towards the incredible comeback side of things. But what do we think about this Nevada-Dayton game?
I'll tell you, 24-4 run down the stretch for Dayton. We were coming back from the Comedy Club to do the show here, and we thought it was over. It was a 20-point lead.
Right.
20-point lead, and we have no chance of this. So let's go get go to the room. Let's do the show. And all of a sudden, I said,
I like Harry when he breaks the fourth wall 56-53, for everybody.
56-53. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. We got a chance here.
Yeah.
Dayton's got a chance here. And again, this is a team that I would be, a lot of people thought, including myself, they shouldn't have been the seventh seed. No way should they have been seventh seed, considering the only other A-10 school that was in was Duquesne, and like we mentioned, because they won the tournament. But Dayton also finished third in the regular season in the A-10. They were only 3-3 down the stretch. Didn't make it to the conference final. But why were they a seventh seed? I just didn't understand that, especially when no one of the team got in. VCU had a good season. Richmond, right. Loyola. Didn't get in, and
are you arguing?
And
Sister
somehow
Jean,
Dayton, yes,
Sister Jean should have been in.
Sister, maybe
right.
they played a tough non-conference schedule, and Dayton was a 17. I can understand them. Maybe a lot of people said Nevada should have been the 7, and Dayton should have been the 10, and that would have made even a little bit more sense, especially considering Nevada ended up being a 1.5-2 point favorite to start the game. But what a job out of the blue! Dayton just turns it on and wins, and now I'd be a little, you win a game like that.
You feel like you're destined.
You're destined, especially right. when everyone was trashing you about being the seed that you were at.
It kind of reminded me a little bit, maybe not that far. I mean, it wasn't the buzzer beater moment, but when Jordan Poole hit that shot for Michigan back in 2018, it just felt like, okay, this team's going to go on a run. You know what I mean? Rob Gray was great for Houston. That was a great Houston team. And when that happened, it just felt like team of destiny stuff. So Dayton might have a little bit of that. Again, 2020, that was a year they would have been a one seed, would have had Obi Toppin.
Right. So again,
could have made a run with Jalen Crutcher. I mean, they had all the pieces.
Now, I'm Against All Odds, I did mention, though, that if any team deserves to have a break in the seeding, it deserves to be Dayton, considering that 2020. That would have been
right.
They would have been one seed, Obi Toppin, and who knows what would have happened with that team. It didn't happen. They got kind of screwed. They definitely got screwed. And now they're a seventh seed. A lot of people didn't like that, including myself, but they're moving on.
Yeah, they're moving on. I had Nevada in my bracket. I guess my bracket is busted. That is that time of year where everybody sees their bracket busted. BYU was the big one. Everyone had them moving on past Duquesne. I think there's only 13 perfect brackets left after Duquesne won that game. So shout out to the Dukes. LeBron James is having a great day. He is a big fan of the Duquesne Dukes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do some futures here from the Flamingo in Las Vegas.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We are here live in Las Vegas, myself and Harry Gagnon from Against All Odds. And Harry, when you're in Las Vegas, people want to put together parlays and they want to place bets. And you and I last night, late at night, decided to concoct, and that is the right word, concoct a ridiculous parlay. Can you please, it looks like a CVS receipt. This man is like on the kiosk,
like an
sliding.
8-year-old Christmas list from Santa, right?
Yes, right. It's we wrote out our wish list together, right?
Well,
can you read this out for the people just so that they know how much of a degenerate you really are?
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess
glad
I am. I'm guilty by association.
Right? I mean, don't sell yourself short.
I know. That's true. I'm here.
Don't sell yourself short. Look, you can do adjusted totals here too, which I kind of like. So
that's the sliders that I'm talking about.
And you mentioned the Michigan State, Mississippi State game started out a little slow, and that was okay considering I really kind of like the under here. And we adjusted that to one. It was 130.5. I gave that out against all odds. I was a winner, and also we adjusted it at 138.5, which comes in easy at 69.51. Again, we mentioned Izzo's Spartans shut down Mississippi State. They couldn't get anything going. They barely got over 50 here. So we got under 138.5. We got one winner in. We were dead to rights. We were dead to rights with Dayton. We were dead to rights with Dayton. Dead to rights.
Yeah.
And I adjusted that line. I didn't want to.
What did we get, 6.5?
We got 6.5. Right. So we were playing with, late. When we made that comeback, 6.5 was nice. Even if we were getting the spread of getting the 1.5, it would have been a little scary. But 6.5 turned out to be just great for
us.
Just
what we wanted.
So we got two in. So that's two in. Now, moving on, we have Texas Tech, which you need for a nice chunk yourself. You've got, you parlayed with Duquesne.
Right.
We've got Texas Tech moneyline just to win the game. Mm-hmm. Just to win the game against NC State. And I kind of really like that because NC State,
they already won their Super
Bowl. They already won their tournament. Yeah, they made their run.
Right.
They took Harry
Hill.
They're
hanging banners.
They're
trying to throw parades, Harry.
Exactly.
They're trying to throw a parade after this win.
And they lost last year in the first round to Creighton, too. So, so they get bounced. We're going to take Texas Tech, who can play great defense as well. So we need that.
First year.
Now, here's another one, though. This is the one that really need to come through. And I've been on this team for about a month and a half, and everybody's on them now, which scares me a little bit. It's the McNeese Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one, Tate? We got a money line. Well, I said we're gonna take the points, and I said let's pump this up. Let's go money line.
Yeah, we like the Cowboys, so that's part of it. We like Will Wade.
I'm down on Gonzaga a little bit, you know. Drew Timmy's gone.
We had some Gonzaga fans in there today.
We did. They were giving me a little bit of crap.
They were giving Harry some gripes because he says Gonzaga instead of Gonzaga. But
yeah.
That's just it's popular vernacular. They used to say Dwayne Wayne instead of Dwayne Wade.
Right.
You know what I mean? Things change. So maybe after this trip, Harry, you're going to be saying Gonzaga.
I bet. St. Mary's won the West Coast Conference regular season
and the tournament.
Not Gonzaga for the first time in ages. So let's go McNeese. So then later on, we've got Washington State. We pumped that up to plus 4.5 against Drake, who's the 10 seed.
Right.
Washington State's the 7. Washington State could be a dangerous team.
So how many legs?
Arizona twice this year.
Right. I like the Washington. I like the Wazoo Cougars, of course. Kyle Smith's a really good coach. So how many legs?
So
we
got
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's a 7-teamer. And just real quick, if we get through all that college hoops,
I had to throw in
NHL totals.
Oh my gosh!
So
when
we're just throwing
pulling
it out there.
Hockey, I was dying. Yeah,
Sabres. You were dying, lad.
Yeah,
Sabres Oilers over 5, and Canadians Canucks over 5.5. Hey, Canadians. By the way, just a stat. Give up the most goals in the NHL, so and the Canucks are one of the most explosive offenses in the league. So over 5.5 in that game.
Harry looked at me and he was dead serious. He said, "What do you like about the Canucks?" We were in the middle of making March Madness bets. I did not have much of a thought. I thought he might be talking about Zach Edey. I was like, "Maybe this year, this is the year he can make a run at the Final Four."
$831 for $30.
$831, Harry and I. We're hoping that hits, but that's the Vegas energy that we want to see.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required. And cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
Let's look at some futures. We're talking about parlays. We're on FanDuel TV, so we're just talking. But Saturday is some interesting games. The first one that I want to talk about is the Dana Altman game. In case you didn't know, Oregon head coach Dana Altman, he coached at Creighton once upon a time, took the Oregon job, and now he's going to be playing Creighton in this game. The line is Oregon plus 5.5, Harry. You like the Blue Jays a lot. This is going to be a tough test. Ryan Kalkbrenner is going to have to deal with Dante on the block. That is going to be fun to see.
That is definitely
what do you like about this matchup in the Dana Altman game?
Well, just about an hour ago, that line was 6.5, so it's already down a point. It made sense to me because just
people like the Ducks.
People like the Ducks, and they were very good defensively today, working hard, double teaming. But overall here, again, like I said, I'm on Creighton. The line's down to 5.5. That's just fine with me because Kalkbrenner is a beast down low.
But has he dealt with someone like Dante? That is the question.
He's also a pretty good passer for a big guy. Kick it out to Alexander. Kick it out to Shireman.
You don't have to double Kalkbrenner now.
Yeah, you're right.
That's good news.
Shireman turned it on in the second half today for Creighton. Didn't do much in the first half, but again, a great starting five for Creighton. I think it's going to be too much for Oregon, who is on a nice run. Don't get me wrong. Of course, a nice win today. Play and dominated for that game mostly, and then won the Pac-12. But still, Pac-12 a little down this season.
Yeah.
So give me Creighton out of the Big East to move on.
If you take Creighton there, just money line, -245. So obviously not much value, but Creighton looking good so far in this tournament, and a team that went to the Elite Eight last year. And they told me, Baylor Shireman told me in Maui, that the one goal was to get to the Final Four. Creighton, they have a plan. We'll see what happens there. We also have a very interesting line, Harry, on Saturday. The Spartans, Tom Izzo, we talked about them before the break. They are going to be taking them on my North Carolina Tar Heels. And this line is very interesting. 9, taking on a 1. But the line is Carolina -3.5 here, Harry. Interesting. A very tight line. It feels like Vegas thinks they know something about Tom Izzo being Mr. March.
Yeah, and Michigan State, the 9 seed, against North Carolina, the 1. Why is it 3.5?
Maybe I need to eat my words, because I was telling you that I wanted to play Michigan State. And maybe that was wrong.
Well,
Hogard hit some threes today. Tyson Walker.
I know you didn't. You were fine with the NC State taking care of North Carolina in the ACC final.
I wasn't
final.
Fine with
well, you know,
I but, said I was fine yeah, with yeah, it, yeah. But I wasn't fine with it.
I understand, but still, yeah. I mean, the line is just really low to me. I don't.
Yeah.
Very fishy because
Michigan State money line here +140.
Michigan State again
should be more
in
value.
The Big Ten. In the Big Ten tournament, they did give Purdue a heck of a game.
Mm-hmm.
They were in that, so maybe they feel very confident moving into this situation against North Carolina. But boy, I don't know. North Carolina's got too much overall talent. But why is this line 3.5? If they're the 1 and Michigan State is the 9, and it's only 3.5. Meanwhile, you just mentioned Creighton, Oregon, 6.5, down to 5.5. But still, that's a lot more than I don't know. Just it's fishy to me here, where Michigan State playing well right now, all of a sudden, and again. Didn't come into this shooting great from 3-point range, played great in the first half today, and they cruised. Just 3.5, I kind of like Michigan State only because it seems too fishy to me, Tate.
Yeah, you're smelling something out there.
I don't know.
Something
that's
seems
low.
Fishy. I don't know. I think North Carolina, that's a tough line, but this is a team that has something to prove, so I'm hoping that they show up in this game.
And besides that NC State game, North Carolina had been dominating it. Everything. Yeah. I mean, the last loss was Syracuse.
Exactly.
And it took Syracuse shooting 63% in that game to take care of North Carolina.
One of the greatest offensive games of the year, by the way, from the Syracuse Orange. I know that we're not going to talk about teams out in the tournament, but just wanted to point that out. Last game on Saturday I want to talk about. Then I want to hit some of these late Friday games and maybe some Final Four futures. But we got Dayton taking on Arizona. Dayton +8.5 in this game, +320 money line. Dayton, we were talking about them maybe being a team of destiny. Arizona had some jitters early on against Long Beach State. Is there any sort of world where Daron Holmes can be a problem for Ballo and they could get a win?
Sure. But, by the way, here's my bracket. I jinxed Nevada. I'd already put Nevada in the bracket. I already moved them on, and that's not to be. But I'll tell you, when you win a game like Dayton did, and kind of getting some disrespect because of your seeding, now moving on against Arizona. Arizona, again, who blew us in the first round last year, and took their time to get really rolling against Long Beach here. I wouldn't mess with betting against Dayton here. Maybe this might be a pass for me because you win like a game like that you did today. You come back in the second half. All of a sudden, you're feeling it. Sometimes you're feeling it. And Arizona took a lot of threes. They were turning the ball over in the first half. And then, like I said, went on to cruise and win by 20. But this is a game where I would back off of it or take Dayton just because of the way you won that game today.
Yeah, plus 320, team of destiny stuff. Maybe you just swing for the fences.
And I still think that Arizona overall, talent-wise, had a better team last year than they did this year.
Well, the good news for Arizona is that they don't have to play last year's Arizona team, and they also don't have to play Princeton. So they have dodged two major bullets it comes to their future this year. I'm looking at some of the futures for most outstanding player in the Final Four. Zach Edey is the favorite, which I think is noteworthy. Plus 800. Jamal Shedd, plus 1,200. Donovan Klingon at UConn, plus 1,200. Tristan Newton, plus 1,300. LJ Cryer, plus 1,700. We're obviously still early on in the tournament. Is there someone that you like for most outstanding player that you take now when the odds are a little bit more extreme?
What's Kalkbrenner?
Kalkbrenner, man, that's
again 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks.
I got you, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Creighton's very own 7-footer, plus 6,000. Harry,
wow.
Do you take a swing? Because a lot of times with the most outstanding player, it's not always the guy who was the best player on the team throughout the year, if that makes any sense. Like 2009, North Carolina, most people would say the best player on that team is either Ty Lawson, ACC Player of the Year, Tyler Hansbrough, who's Tyler Hansbrough, one of the greatest players ever. But who's MOP in 2009, Harry? Do you know this? A little trivia for you.
Ooh, I don't.
I'll just tell you. Make it Wayne. Wayne Ellington was the most outstanding player. Wow. So that's just how
it could be. Someone else on the team that's not the best player on the team.
Exactly. 2017, Joel Berry, you would think would be the most outstanding player. It was Justin Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like there's examples where it doesn't necessarily go one to one.
Well, if Creighton gets by Oregon, again, they're 5.5 point favorite. Kalkbrenner would be the reason. Kalkbrenner would be the reason.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here in Los Angeles in studio here at the Ringer HQ. And joining us now is the Ringer's very own, Sirit Sohi. Sirit, great to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about the Women's College Basketball Tournament. In case you missed it, Bill Simmons is highly invested in the Women's College Basketball Tournament. He has been calling me. He's like, you need to talk about this. You need to figure it out. And I said, I'm not the expert here. I can be the host, but we need someone who actually knows what's going on. So Sirit, we bring you in. And today we're going to figure out the top characters in the Women's Basketball Tournament. Are you fired up? Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I've been stealth watching the women's tournament, and you know, from like the last 2 years or so, and you know, become more of a fan over the last few years. So I'm glad this is happening. I feel like everybody else, you know, I feel like everybody else. Caitlin Clark drew me in, and now there's a bunch of other players that I've started to become invested into.
And it does feel like last year, the women's tournament, you know, as far as the coverage, the intrigue, the drama, all the things that we want in basketball, they won, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So going into this year, everyone is trying to figure out what's going to happen again. And let's start with our first character, Alyssa Peely, who is the Pac-12 Player of the Year, 5 seed for the Utah Utes. What do we expect to see from Peely, and what do we need to know about her?
Yeah, so like my favorite archetype of NBA player in the last like 10 years or so, I've like, you know, stated this many, many times, is like your basketball player that looks like they could have played football.
Right.
Instead. You know, like
DJ Burns on the men's side, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Like your Zions, like your Lou Dort's, like just like people who like, you know, combine a level of finesse and strength and are just mismatch nightmares. So Alyssa Peely is basically college basketball's version of that. She is a mismatch nightmare. Nobody can guard her. She dropped 37 on South Carolina, and it was actually pretty funny watching her go up against Camilla Cardoso, who's like 6'7", SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and just kind of doing the same things that like what you kind of expect now that we've seen some of these players just like sneaking out under her, just really good footwork, getting into like good position, using her strength, and you know she can also shoot it too. So yeah, she's gonna be a problem, and also I mean like. Utah, they play in the Pac-12. It was a really, really tough conference. Emma as a five seed, they're probably one of the best five seeds out there. And, you know, if it comes down to like them and Gonzaga in the 5-4, I'd probably take Utah.
Yeah, and we don't see many upsets in the women's tournament. It's pretty chalky. So if right there is a five seed, we like that to start off. Next one, we're going to stay in the Pac-12. One of the best names in women's college basketball, Charisma Osborne. She returned to UCLA because she said she was trying to win a title. She gets compared to Jewel Lloyd a lot. Mm-hmm. That's her 2.0. That is her shades of, as we like to say, in the Ringer universe. But what do you like for Charisma? And what do you think about this UCLA team?
Yeah, I mean, they're in the toughest conference. I mean, or like the toughest.
Last year, the Pac-12. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the Pac-12 is like, they're going out with a bang. They're like, okay.
Not on the men's side, but the women's side, they figured it out.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, you're going to end us? Like, we are going to, you know, get a little bit of revenge before their time is up. But yeah, you know, they've got a tough pass down the line, but they're a really good team. I think they're probably one of the deepest teams. They're a great rebounding team. And like, for the thing with Charisma is that she's the second leading scorer on UCLA, and ever since Hannah Betts got there, she's completely opened up her game. But like, the thing I'm gonna be watching for is her three-point shooting. She's like, part of the reason she came back was, you know, WNBA scouts were kind of like, I don't know if you should declare for the draft this year. She
said it was for a title run, which I think is a great spin zone.
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are many reasons. Like, we all have multifactorial reasons for the things that we do. But she did want to become a better shooter. And the first 18 games of the season, she saw 37%.
Wow.
And the last 13, 24.6%.
Okay, so it started out good.
Yeah, it started out good. We're not really sure how it's going to go. And, you know, college can be tricky just because of sample size. Isn't that great? You know that. It's something that I'm kind of, you know, acclimating myself to. But that's also the story for UCLA. They're really deep. They're a great rebounding team. Hannah Betts is pretty much unguardable. I think, like, we'll talk about Iowa and Caitlin Clark later, but that's a team that I think they are going to struggle with for a number of reasons. Also because of Osborne's defense. But can they shoot? That's kind of down the line. They have one really great shooter in Lindsey Jones, and everybody else is pretty streaky. So I think they either, like, catch fire or they go down.
Yeah, you got to make shots to win games. And Charisma, let's make some threes. Let's get that percentage back up closer to 37%. Let's meet in the middle at least. Number eight, we got Paige Beckers. I feel like everybody knows Paige Beckers, but she's the first team AP All-American this year for UConn. Comes back from the devastating injury. She's dominating again. She has a Gatorade deal. I mean, she's been all over the place. But what do we see from Paige Buckets this tournament around?
Yeah, just, I mean, you know, like you said, back to form. And I think that UConn has actually become a little bit underrated. You talked about before the pod, like the
Gino Auriemma is upset. He's very upset. He's like, what is going on?
Yeah, the power dynamics are shifting in women's basketball, which is obviously great for the sport. They're not like the powerhouse that they used to be, but at the same time, they're incredibly well coached. They're experienced. I mean, they just absolutely destroyed Georgetown in the championship game. And, you know, like, they don't have the depth, but they have Aaliyah Edwards, they have Paige, they've had some young players play well. So I think that, I don't know, they're a team to watch for me. I think the depth, it gives me some questions, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went on a deep run, especially since, like, there are so many freshmen that are being relied on this time around. So a team with experience, I don't know, you might want to give them a look.
Yeah, I wish AZ Fudd was out on the court with this team. I mean, they are a fun team. They have a lot of talent, like you said. And Gino Auriemma is 69 years old, so I feel like he's on alert for who knows when his last dance could be. But, you know, when he wants it to be, he can make a run. So keep an eye on that. Let's talk about number seven, Haley Van Lith. She is always a story in college basketball, it seems like. She had a lip read moment where she reacted to Louisville, her old team, you know, basically saying, like, they might get beat, might get upset. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding here, obviously, her decision to go to LSU. She's leaned in, I feel like, to being the villain a little bit. But what do we think about this LSU team and Haley Van Lith?
Yeah, I mean, she's like Kim Mulkey 2.0,
right?
In a lot of ways.
We always hear that with coaches, like it's like their avatar on the court. Like Haley Van Lith has turned into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was recruited by Kim Mulkey back when Mulkey was at Baylor, and you know, ended up going with Louisville instead. But, you know, I guess, you know, she just couldn't quit her, you know.
She saw that Coca-Cola jacket and she's like, I gotta play for her.
I mean, the mystique, the charisma. If there's one decision that's blown up this year, it's probably that, right? Like, she's just had a really tough year with LSU. Like, all of her numbers are down, like, and they don't really play as a team. They haven't really figured out how to integrate her into their offense. Like, there are so many games when I watch them, like, you watch them the first game that they had against South Carolina, they completely unraveled down the line. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese fouls out. And then you've got HBL basically just yelling for the ball. Like, just like her arms are up. She's open. She's not getting a catch. And the other thing that I think kind of also gives me some questions is, like, they've had some injuries, too, that I think that, like, are going to be somewhat substantial if they carry on. So, like, for them, Tar Heel Poa mm-hmm. is kind of like, every time she's on the floor with HBL, she plays a lot better because she's a good creator. She's a really good passer, and she's kind of one of the only LSU players who I think is, like, an instinctive, like, play make first type of player. Mm-hmm. So without her too, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm kind of waiting for LSU to combust, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the best moment for HVL this season was during the brawl, you know what I mean? She against South Carolina, where she really stood up for her teammates, and I felt like after that, it almost galvanized them a little bit. Angel Reese said, "We're not scared of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is scared, but we're not." So, I mean, maybe that's the gel that they needed to come together, but it's been a very rocky season, to say the least.
Yeah, and that's like, I find it, like, I like that you framed it that way, because that's kind of like my galaxy brain take with the person that we want to talk about next,
yes,
which is Kim Mulkey. I was just wondering, like, will they be somewhat fortified by what happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Because Camila Cardoso went after a player who was much smaller than her. And it just, I mean, it just speaks to who Kim Mulkey is at the end of the day. Like, what she did after the game, saying, you know, I wish that she would have pushed Angel, like, basically go after somebody your own size. But it was also like, man, like, this is the one time that I feel like LSU was at a controversy in the last year, and Angel has not been anywhere near it. And Kim is just like, let me just drag you back in there.
Right.
Like, I don't think that she has seen, like, a drip of gasoline that she hasn't been like, let me just put some fire on that. Like, that's how she operates. And it's one of those things where I think over the course of 3 weeks for a team that, you know, they've wanted to be able to come together, they've wanted to play better defense, maybe this does light a fire underneath them. But I don't know, man. Like, you're playing a dangerous game.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's the game that Kim Mulkey plays.
And I will say, Kim Mulkey is the Cruella de Vil of college basketball. Like, if you have not been keeping up with her, she wears ridiculous suits on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I mean, Coca-Cola is draped along her jacket. She looks like a NASCAR driver over there. And instead, she's coaching college basketball. But then you got Angel Reese, who is a star in her own right. So, I mean, they're going to have storylines. Mm-hmm. And they're a 3 seed. And they have Iowa as their 1 seed. UCLA as their 2 seed. So they have an insane region. So they're obviously going to be talked about. But it's going to be a tough path to get back to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's going to be tough for LSU. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do the top 5 characters in women's college basketball. We'll be right back on the other side. Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Sirit Sohi. We have counted down our top 11. I think this is very fun. We like numbers that are not quite, you know, top 10, top 15 here at the Ringer. So top 11. We have gotten through, you know, number 6. Now we get to number 5. We got Madison Booker, the first freshman to win Big 12 Player of the Year out of Texas. What do we expect to see from Madison Booker, and what should we know about her heading into the tournament?
Honestly, she's one of my favorite players to watch.
She's
just
great.
So smooth with it.
Kevin Durant loves her.
Yeah, I mean, he should. He should, because it's like that same Kevin Durant feeling, like, you watch him play and you're like, let me just pour a glass of red wine and put on some smooth jazz, like, hit,
right.
Like, put the commentators on mute and just watch this. Like, she is one of the smoothest players in college basketball. She's incredibly poised, especially for a rookie. She basically came into the season, was supposed to do some on-ball creating and play backup point guard. Then Rory Harmon, the point guard for Texas, gets hurt. She's thrust into that role. And since then, she's basically been averaging 25 and 5. And there were a lot of questions about Texas after Rory went down. And they've shot back up the rankings, and they are, you know, they're number one. They're really well poised, I think.
Yeah, I like this Texas team a lot, and there's been a lot of good momentum for this Texas team. So Madison Booker, that's a name that you need to know. One of those freshmen that I feel like we hear a lot about, Juju, obviously, Hannah Hidalgo, but she's another one you need to know. Number 4, Malaysia Fulwiley. She is Red Bull's first NIL athlete. She's a Curry protege, and she is a lightning rod for the South Carolina team. What do you like about Fulwiley?
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, you could have picked any South Carolina player player. You could have gone with Camila Cardoso. You could have gone with Raven Johnson. But I just, man, I love Malaysia Fulwiley. And she's I think that everybody else is going to love her, too. Like, she's so fun to watch. She has some of the best finishes that I've ever seen. It's also, like, one little parlor game I like to play with myself is, like, will she ever finish with her left hand? And I think the answer is no, but she has, like, some of the best right-handed finishes that I've ever seen.
Junior year.
Yeah. We worry about that later. But right now, it's just, like, watching her find a way to finagle her way to her right hand is also, like, ending up and creating some of the most acrobatic plays that we've seen this season. I think one that everybody's seen was like the around the world that she had I think the first game of the season.
Yeah, it was so earlier was, like, in the year.
Really,
yeah, right.
Yeah, that was what really like put her on the map for me. I was like, okay, I need to be watching her. But she's also, man, she's just got a lot of, she's got a little in her, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, she's, her steal was part of the reason that that fight broke out with LSU in South Carolina at the end of the game a couple weeks ago. And, you know, she, like, scores on Haley Van Lith. She gives her the too small. Like, there's just...
It's the number one celebration in all of basketball.
It
always hits.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's so demoralizing.
Right.
Yeah,
it's even better when someone's bigger than you and you do it to
them. Oh, it's way better. It's so much... It's, like, it's completely undignified.
Yes.
Then. Like, you're just done. It's, like, worse than a poster dunk.
Yeah, I think it's the best thing that we got going. So, Fulwiley's definitely a name. Now we're going to talk about her head coach, Dawn Staley, looking for her third title, looking to go undefeated. We talked about Kim Mulkey's reaction to that little brawl, little scuffle that we saw. Dawn Staley was the opposite of what Kim Mulkey did. She basically was like, that's not how we handle business on a basketball court. She took the high road, and America once again was like, thank God we have Dawn Staley. So how do we feel about her chances to win our third title?
Yeah, I mean, another thing on that too is just like a complete difference in her understanding of public perception, the increased popularity of the game, and how her players can become targets. Like,
yes.
One thing with Dawn Staley, and she's done it last year too, like, every time something kind of comes out in the media or something might become a story where her players might feel some heat, there might be some dog whistling going on, she takes it. She takes it on. And I imagine part of it is probably because, like, she is surprisingly like a very online coach. So she probably sees some of the things
we see
that
her
people
tweeting.
Say. Yeah, she's tweeting. Right. She's out there. And I really appreciate that about her. Like, just the way that she, you know, she takes that on versus Kim Mulkey. Yeah, completely different approaches to coaching. But... yeah, I mean, this team, South Carolina, they were not supposed to go undefeated this year. Like, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for them. And when they lost to Iowa, I think they just realized, like, we need a lot more shooting. We obviously know Raven Johnson. She got waved off by Caitlin Clark last year, famously. Hit the gym, improved her three-point shot. Staley, you know, went and hired a shooting coach. And then also went and got Tahina Paopao as well in the transfer portal to add some shooting.
Paopao
is
a great last name.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
When you hit a three and they can just say, yeah, they just say Paopao.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sounds good.
It does. But yeah, I mean, this is just a team that's really reinvented itself. Wasn't supposed to. They play with a lot of pace. They can hit a lot of threes. There's a lot of young players and they just should not be in this position. Like, why the hell are you guys undefeated? So I'm just constantly, I mean, with any great coach, I find myself fascinated with, like, not only the mystique but the sort of nitty-gritty of how they actually manage to do what they do, because I think the way that we talk about coaching we miss a lot because it's really hard to define things that are kind of intangible. So that's why I just find her really interesting. Like, I've always just wanted to know, like, what is it? And, like, the more that I watch her and the more that I watch their team, it's just like it feels like this osmosis in a way of, like, she is so, she's always prepared and she's, like, fiery, but she's calm at the same time. And that's how I feel about this team as well. Like, they're a bunch of young kids, but they go in and, like, you know, they win
SEC
tournament,
right.
You know?
And they were down to Tennessee in a regular season game at halftime. And I remember they were talking to Dawn Staley and she's just like, we'll be fine. We're just not executing. You know, it's like that sense of, like, I expect we're going to go win the game.
Yeah.
It trickles down to everybody on the team in South Carolina. It looks like a juggernaut again.
Yeah,
so.
There was actually a moment against their game against Tennessee in the SEC tournament.
Right.
When Raven Johnson basically said the same thing, like, before Camila Cardoso hit that shot, which I also think is, like, kind of a culmination of all the work that they've done this season. I know it was her first three this season, but she's been working with the shooting team
a
lot.
It's a great reaction as well.
It is. It was, oh, I mean, how can you not, right? But, you know, there was a moment where Raven Johnson was like, she looked like we're going to lose. And then Dawn Staley just looked at her like, we're okay. And like that stuff matters, you know, especially when you're coaching young players.
And I think a lot of people want Dawn Staley versus Caitlin Clark. Like they feel like that is some sort of like very at-large beef that we have going on. I saw both of them last year at the Wooden Award ceremony. They interviewed each other. You could see how much respect they had for each other.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark said, I used to watch highlights of Dawn Staley. So I feel like there's like this mutual respect, which is good for the game at the highest level.
Yeah, it feels like a much more, it's a manufactured beef, if anything.
I feel like it started from Twitter, where like Dawn had some tweets and people were like, she trying to shade Caitlin? It's like, no. She's just shooting from
the hip. Well, it's like the, like, I like pancakes, so you hate waffles.
Yeah,
thing that we exactly. do on Twitter.
That's what everybody does. So Dawn Staley, number three. Let's get to number two. We're out in Los Angeles, so she's the biggest star on campus, despite what you may think. She has given USC the highest seed since Cheryl Miller in 1986. They are a one seed. Juju Watkins, she was a star in the Pac-12 tournament. What should we expect to see? It does feel like she's getting the baton passed to her from Caitlin at the end of the season.
It feels like it. It feels like it. I mean, she broke Caitlin Clark's freshman scoring record, and we're not even in the tournament yet. And like that is a record that is, by the way, it is made to be broken. It will be broken. It's like it's surprising to hear because it's you know, it took so long for it to be broken. But at the same time, like the freshman that we're talking about, but Juju Watkins, like she's headlining that right now. You know, she's an awesome player. She's unguardable. Like I think the thing that probably speaks to her unguardability more than anything else is like two games against Stanford. One, she scores 51 points and USC wins. And the other one, she scores 9 points, goes like scoreless in the first quarter, and USC wins. And that speaks to their growth this season. And they're way ahead of schedule, too. But yeah, I mean, like, I just don't think anybody saw it coming this quickly for this USC team. Like, obviously, you get a prospect like Juju, you think you're going to be good, but they made a lot of good moves. Like, you know, I'm sure you heard of, like, Juju and the Nerds, like, the three Ivy League players that they signed. I got to give a shout out to Caleb Padilla. I went to a USC Arizona game earlier this season, and I mean, I've just been watching her more closely ever since, but she is so tough. Like, she's one of the smallest players on the court. She hits, like, every 3-point shot, and every other team. Once they see her, I'm sure in their scouting report, they're saying, okay, we got to target her. And they can't. I mean, like, she's just so tough. She looks like you can target her, but, you know, she just, like, yeah, she's awesome. I love her. She's become, like, one of my favorite players to watch.
I like that. And I also will say, for Juju's sake, she's not afraid of any shot. Like, she's someone, she has that Kobe Bryant where, like, she could take, you know, 30 shots in a game and have 28 points. And you're just like, she doesn't care. She has a short memory. You know what I mean?
She'll
That's the best way to describe it.
She'll
Juju Watkins, fun to watch. Last one, number one, we all expected, Caitlin Clark. One seed with Iowa, like we said, a very tough region with UCLA and LSU there. But, you know, has the assist record, has the scoring record in college basketball. She breaks Pistol Pete's record. She's done all these things, and the haters are still saying she's not a champion. Can Caitlin Clark make a run and get a title this year? How do we feel?
You know what I think about that, though? Like, and I feel like every time we talk about Caitlin Clark, we make Steph Curry comparisons. But I do think that the parallels are legit. Like, do we punish Steph Curry for what he did with Davidson?
Yeah, we're like,
because we only ever knew about Davidson. Because
people don't go, you lost to Kansas in the Elite Eight,
right? And I think just like I think it's the coolest origin story to be from Iowa to want to take this Iowa program to new heights. She's done that and then some. Like, I don't know, to have that big of a dream and actually accomplish it. Like, I'm always kind of thinking about that when I watch Caitlin Clark, like what she's done for that program. That has also, like, it's been growing in its own right without her, but she just catapulted it to a completely new level. And yeah, I mean, there are things that you can talk about with her game. But to say that she's not a winner or a champion, I just, like, I can't get on board with that, regardless of what happens, especially knowing that, like, the slate that Iowa is going to be facing. Yeah, it would, if they make the Final Four again, like, I would honestly be a little bit surprised, just given what they have to face. And then, you know, the teams that they're going to be facing, like, everybody's pretty stacked. And Iowa is a team that, you know, they're strong, but I don't know. Like, what happens when they go up against UCLA and Lauren Betts, potentially? You know, Hannah Stahlke is much improved, but can she get there? Maybe. I don't know. We don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not here for the Caitlin Clark hating.
Yeah, I don't like the Caitlin Clark hating either, but I have to ask the question, do we get a national championship game rematch in the Elite Eight? Do we see LSU take on Iowa? Is that something that we should expect?
I don't know if LSU is going to make it that far.
That's kind of how I feel, like, a lot of people have said that's going to be the case, but I think both teams kind of have a tough path just even to get to the Elite Eight, which says a lot about the game in general. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'd watch out for that, but there you have it. Top 11 characters. Do you have a prediction, national championship prediction? Is there a team that you like? Do you think South Carolina can do it?
Oh, man, I think it's like if it was South Carolina versus the field, I think I still have to take the field just because of how young they are.
Yeah.
So we just know the things that can happen in March. They were obviously they were undefeated and a better team last year and they still lost. So, you know, nobody really knows. But I guess you have to take South Carolina if you're picking. I haven't figured out my bracket yet, though. Like I keep changing things every day. I know I have a couple more days. I'm waiting on some like injury things.
I wait for the playing games to happen before I fill out my bracket.
What do you have so far?
Yeah, I honestly, like, I want the hero run. Like, I want the Caitlin Clark title yeah. run. I mean, I'm trying to talk myself into it, but the region itself is kind of stressful, so that kind of worries me. But I think Dawn Staley's going to take this team and win the championship.
Yeah, I think that's
going to be a statement.
I think that's why I haven't actually locked in some things, because I'm staring at this, like, Iowa-UCLA matchup, and I want to click Iowa. I want to click Iowa so bad just because I want to see it happen.
It's heart versus head, you know what I mean?
It really is.
Yeah, your
it
head's
really
like,
is.
This is not going to happen,
really
but your
is.
Heart wants it to happen.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
One last thing before I let you go. You wrote a great piece on Caitlin Clark. We need to plug that, and then we'll let you go enjoy your Friday.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot about that. Yeah, I wrote something about Caitlin on theringer.com, and there's also like an accompanying video coming out on the Ringer NBA YouTube channel. But it's basically just about it's about the run that they're trying to make, like the difficulties that they're going to face, but also just this sort of push and pull between what I like to call the two Caitlins.
Mm-hmm.
To generalize a little bit, like there's the Trae Young in her, and then there's also the Steph Curry in
yes.
her too. And we love both sides. She needs both sides of her, but you know, we have seen moments where that side of her is taken over, like where the emotions of the game, like she's not riding them as much as they're riding her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 4 months or so, honestly, it's something that has been one of the biggest growth points in her game. And it's really impressive to see, just given the pressure that she's been under, you would think that those types of traits, because they kind of built themselves out of, you know, everybody calling her overrated and all those things. Like, she kind of had to develop a bit of an armor, a bit of a
had to.
Like the showmanship and all of that stuff.
And the spotlight like got brighter and brighter. Yeah.
Exactly. So for her to kind of be able to, like, relinquish some of that pressure and, you know, become the type of player who, I mean, there was a game, the game that she actually broke the scoring record, Michigan goes box and one, and third quarter or second quarter, I can't remember now, she's setting screens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the growth points that I'm looking for from her, especially for this run right now, because they're going to need more than Caitlin Clark. They're going to need everybody else to step up. But for me, that starts with Caitlin Clark trusting her teammates and putting them in a position to succeed.
I love it. Sierra, thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate you. And as we get closer to the Final Four, I'm sure we'll have you back and we'll break down what happens. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.